Good morning and welcome to Viewpoint, a weekly public service program heard each Sunday morning on WHMI. It's brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. I'm your host, John King. Coming up on this morning's show, we'll hear from Livingston County Road Commission Managing Director Mike Crane about the upcoming construction season. But first up, Howell School Superintendent Aaron McGregor and School Board Vice President Brent Earle joined us to talk about the upcoming bond issue that will go before voters May 7th in the Howell School District. This followed a failed sinking fund millage last November. It failed by just 28 votes. And we began the Superintendent McGregor talking about exactly why they are bringing forward this particular ballot issue at this time here on WHMI's Viewpoint.
At the end of my first year, we completed a strategic plan. Part of that strategic plan had a component involving our capital needs in the district, making sure our facilities were taken care of and our capital needs were again accounted for. So as a result of that, we did a long-term study, 10-year look at our facilities, did an assessment of our roofs, HVAC units, all those things that, again, the backbone of our facilities. Got that back, and then because of that, we had about a $20 to $25 million amount of needs in the school district with regards to our facilities. We brought forward then a sinking fund this past November, to account for some of those needs. That was going to be a per-year levy to, again, address some of those infrastructure needs we had in the district. Disappointing result of that election by 28 votes out of a total of
a surprise loss. I think everyone seemed to go into that thinking a sinking fund millage would be kind of a slam dunk, a no-brainer.
Yeah, actually, interestingly, though, I think some of the feedback we got from that election was some confusion around what a sinking fund is. The terminology is a statutory requirement, and so some of that just took some explanation. If you didn't have that background, again, you weren't quite familiar with what a sinking fund was. So that was some of the feedback we received. In addition to some of the feedback we received around, can we do more with our instructional areas in our district, more with our athletic areas, and then most specifically was some of the security needs that we heard that our parents and our community wanted to address.
So when the sinking fund failed, and then you go back out and you started to hear from parents and others that the issues that would have been addressed by that sinking fund still need to be addressed.
Yeah, still need to be addressed. Again, we heard loud and clear from our parents and our community around, here's some of the feedback we have as to why we thought it was defeated, again, by a very narrow margin. But again, can we do some more with security? Can we enhance those things in the school district with regards to security? And can we do more with instruction and extracurricular enhancements around the district? And so, again, that's what we did. I brought that information back to the board, packaged that information back into a bond proposal that we now have on the May 7th ballot.
Okay, so then let's look at the particulars of the bond.
Sure.
And then we'll talk more about what it would address. So for those people heading to the polls on May 7th, what are they going to be approving?
So again, similar to what was on the ballot with regards to the sinking fund, we have a bond on the ballot that's going to address the capital needs of the school district. So things like our roofs, our HVAC units, pavement, all of those things that we need to make sure we have to provide the best learning environments for our kids. In addition to that, though, we're also going to provide some safety and security upgrades, some much-needed safety and security upgrades, specifically secure entryways at each of our buildings. Right now, when you enter our buildings, visitors have full access to our buildings. You can walk down hallways into the cafeteria. This request would provide secure entry.
So this would be like a buzz-in entry system?
Buzz-in entryway, enhancing that to the point where you actually are forced into the main office, and so you don't have access to the full building when you enter the building. That would occur at each of one of our school buildings. In addition to, we were fortunate enough to receive a Michigan State Police grant actually in the fall to upgrade our buzzer system and all of our exterior doors. So we're in the process of doing that right now. The bond would also enhance that to include our interior doors. So, for instance, we'd be able to do a single point lockdown for all of our doors, in exterior and interior, which would be a nice added security feature.
And the bond is $39 million would be raised over what period of time?
Over the next – so we're extending the current debt levy millage by 5 years, and so we'd scheduled to be paid off in 2034.
Okay, so it's currently set to expire 2029.
Correct.
By approving this May 7th, this would then extend that to 2034 and would generate an additional $39 million in revenue for the district to make these upgrades that
that you're talking
correct.
About.
Correct. And just a couple of other additional upgrades. So looking at our instructional areas, we'd be adding STEM spaces, so science, technology, engineering, and math areas to all of our buildings, which would be a nice feature for each one of our school buildings. Also taking a look at some of those areas that our students use or utilize the most, Performing Arts Center, Rod Bushy Performing Arts Center, would have new seating, and so we'd be able to do that. That seating's about 20, 23 years old. In addition to taking a look at our athletic facilities, again, looking at those areas that are most utilized, weight and cardio area upgrades, in addition to some athletic field upgrades.
So, Brent, from a board perspective, looking at this bond, what is it that you can tell, voters in terms of the need for this and how this money will be used?
Well, I think from a board perspective, I can't speak for all board members, but I think that this is a theme, is that I think we're being good stewards of the taxpayers' money. So when we went did the sinking fund request, and it lost by 28 votes, I can't tell you how many people I heard coming to me saying, "What do we need to do? This is wrong. We know that we need security features fixed. We need infrastructure. What can we do to in the future to do something to get the sinking fund back, what can we do?" And I was overwhelmed by it. I was surprised, not really surprised, but I was surprised by the vigor that people were really interested in making sure that we did something. So then we had the discussions, and Aaron and the team came back to us with the bond proposal. And so, our viewpoint from a board perspective is as a financial aspect of it. And so what we really wanted to see is not to have taxes to be raised. That's what the sinking fund, I think, was a good element of it, is that it didn't increase taxes. And in this case, it's the exact same thing. In fact, year over year, the taxpayer will not see their taxes increase. They'll actually see it decrease year over year. It's just a delayed in the rate of decrease, and it's that extension of that, 5-year extension from 2029 to 2034. So I think those elements of the bond are the elements that I think that we wanted to make sure that were in there, and I think that the voter will like to see that because their taxes will not go up.
So it's a tough environment right now to go out and ask anything for a bond or a millage, even when, as you said, this is not going to increase taxes and it's actually going to be just a slow in the decrease. But still a tough environment out there with the perception, and maybe that's with the sinking fund millage defeat, there was a perception that it's a tax increase, even though the reality is it was not. So what do you say when folks, neither one of you can answer this or both, if residents or folks come to you and say, "Well, wait a minute, what's in the fund? What do we have in the rainy day fund? Why can't this money be used? Why can't the district find a way to fund these upgrades within its current budget?"
So I'll take the first shot at this, is that the amount of money is so much, $39 million. And our budget, discretionary money that we have to spend on these types of items, we just don't have the money to do it. It's just not there. And if we had to, we'd have to make some tough choices, some really tough choices, in order to incorporate a lot of these security issues. And a lot of these things would just we would just have to, when something broke, we'd have to fix it. It would be very, very painful for the district. We have some of these buildings that we have are 60 years old, and most all of our buildings need new roofs. Roofs are not inexpensive. And so this is where...
And not optional.
And not optional for sure. You need to conduct school in a safe environment. So that's right. There's so much need over the course of the next X amount of years, is that this is the mechanism to allow us to do that. And to do it any other way would be just extremely painful, and we'd have to reduce services on the education side.
And I would just add, John, I would go back about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when the state, again, through some hard times, had to make some significant cuts to the school aid fund. We're still recovering from that. And so when you look at what we've recovered from, it hasn't kept pace with inflation. And so, again, we're very thankful for the increase that we've seen. But again, when you look at overall inflation rates and what it costs to put a roof on, we just haven't made that money up. So that makes it difficult. And again, I would go back to, I think this is a very responsible request from the school district. When you look at our current debt millage rate at 6.3, it's the lowest in the county of all five public schools in the county. And it's scheduled to go down. And even with that extension of 5 years, we're still scheduled to pay off that debt before any other school district in the county. So I just think it's, when you look at it from a taxpayer, from the county perspective, it's very reasonable and responsible.
What's the feedback been so far?
It's been very positive. So that's a great question. I've been out in the community for the better part of a month, explaining this, informing the community, and it's been very positive with the way that we're going about this and the way we're approaching it. So I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that, again, the voters are going to see that.
And I think I'll add to that is that we didn't overreach. I mean, even this, it sounds like a lot of money. There was other proposals that we're looking at with substantially more, and I think this does the, I'll say, the basics to keep the schools operational and make a few enhancements to better the, you know, the education of the student within the whole district.
And so I think for maybe some of our listeners, if they hear, okay, do we really need like new seating in the Rod Bushy Performing Arts Center? Is that really a great need? Or if we're talking about athletic field upgrades, I mean, how much is that a need or a want? But I know for a lot of districts and the way that the current environment with schools of choice, how that's structured, you're very much in a competitive environment to try and attract students into the district and keep them there. And that I think that would – I mean, is it – am I wrong to say that that somewhat is informing some of these upgrades?
Well, I'll make somewhat of a joke here. I think when I graduated in 1985, I sat in the same seat that I did in the Rod Bushy – we changed the name, but it's the same seat that I sat in a long time ago. So there definitely are some maintenance and upgrades, drinking fountains, for example. There's so many things that you see that – are somewhat operational, but they need to be maintained to be kept up to speed. So
let me ask you this. It's interesting. So you said when you graduated, so your graduation ceremony was held in the Performing Arts Center?
In the Performing Arts Center.
So that brings up a question. So the student body has increased, obviously, since...
A couple, yeah. We had a class of 450, and the classes now are in the plus 600 plus.
So you're dealing with a larger student body, and the buildings, as certainly the high school and the freshman campus, they have not enlarged themselves much in that sense. So more students, same space, obviously trying to deal with those issues, you know, becomes part of this issue.
And I would go back, a bulk of this bond request is for the infrastructure of the buildings. We talked about roofs. I mean, those are expensive. When you look at a roof costing $300,000 to $500,000, that's the bulk of this request. Again, we did hear loud and clear from the community and our parents that, you know, if there's some additional things we can do to remain competitive and also provide a premier learning experience for our kids, then let's do those things. And again, we tried to look at spaces that were going to have the greatest impact on the greatest number of students, and that's what we did.
All right. And again, reiterate, they would, homeowners, taxpayers would not see an increase.
Yeah.
It was a slow in the reduction of their tax rate over, because by extending it for 5 years.
Give me an example. If this request goes through, a homeowner with a home costing, you know, approximately $200,000, taxable value of about $100,000, is actually still going to see a $10 decrease per year with this request passing. Again, if this doesn't pass, yeah, the decrease will be greater, but they're still going to see a decrease the way we package this.
So let's go down that road since you've opened that door. If it doesn't pass, you know, again, roofs aren't optional. So have you even had a discussion at the board level or at the administrative level about, you know, what would be cut? What kind of programs would be the first to go?
From the administrative team perspective, I think I can speak for the board too. I think it's pretty clear on some of the things that we'd have to reduce. First and foremost, we'd have to start to make some of these. We have some roofs this summer that need to be replaced, and so we'd have to start to make some of those harsh.
So these aren't theoretical repairs of the future.
Why we came back immediately in May was that, yeah, we didn't get approval in November, and coming back in May, I hope, shows the fact that we need these things. And so, yes, we're going to have some hard budget discussions going into next year's budget about where we find those dollars.
So from staffing cuts?
I mean, with 80% of our budget being staffing, that's going to have to be something that we take a look at.
So with staffing cuts, with them, would be inevitable that we would see larger class sizes?
Those are things that may result, yes.
And these are things that no district wants. That's not a path any district wants to go down.
And again, the feedback I received from the community is to that effect, that we don't. The reason we want you to come back is we don't want to see those cuts and those reductions to the school district.
So, Brent, as we sort of head to wrap this up, I guess, you know, what's the reception that you've gotten in the community?
Yeah, like I said earlier, there's a lot of folks that are very interested in making sure we take care of some of these key issues. I think probably the biggest one that came out is the safety and security. I mean, that's the one that we talk about a lot these days. And I think those elements of the bond are important. The ones that aren't as sexy and fun to talk about are the infrastructure things, but those are the bulk of the bond and the part that would that would affect the general fund significantly if the bond didn't go through. I think we've been good stewards of the money over the course of, you know, my tenure here, as well as the other board members and in previous years. But these things are so significant. It needs something like this, like a bond that, like the sinking fund prior, but this bond here. It needs to be done in order to make these kind of changes that will affect students for the next 10 years.
Aaron, resources available for folks?
Yeah, so we have a robust website available. It's howellschools.com/for our kids. If you also just go to howellschools.com, the homepage, you'll see a banner there that takes you to a whole bunch of information, ballot explanation, FAQ, what that means to the taxpayer, all those types of resources. Also have a community informational session scheduled for Tuesday, April 16th at 6 o'clock, and that'll be at the administration office in the district.
That's just open to the public to come in.
Absolutely. It would encourage anybody to come to get more, ask questions. If we didn't cover something in this session, definitely come in and we would answer all those questions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Again, Howell School Superintendent Aaron McGregor and School Board Vice President Brent Earl talking about the bond issue on the ballot May 7th. Well, it's inevitable with the coming of warm weather. It's orange barrel season, of course. Construction across Livingston County on area roadways. And WHMI's Michael Kruseman had a chance to speak with Mike Crane, the managing director of the Livingston County Road Commission, about the upcoming road construction season.
We'll hit on a couple things here. The big one, I suppose, is the search for a new asphalt contractor. Have you guys come to make a selection for your recommendation?
We have. On Tuesday of this week, we opened bid proposals for two elements of our pavement work. One is what we call our pavement preservation program. This is on the major roads in the community, the ones that really get people to and from work, school, and freeways. And then the second bid proposals were for subdivision improvements as a result of a number of requests initiated by townships and special assessment districts within those townships. The bids were terrific. We had all the usual suspects bidding, and the numbers came in very consistent with our budget. You know, there's always some minor differences, but we're very pleased with the numbers. And our new asphalt paver is our old asphalt paver, Reith Riley Construction Company of Lansing. They've had our work for about 4 years. We rebid it this year, and they were the low bidder again this time.
It sounded like, from what I gathered, that they had been giving you guys kind of a deal for the previous few years, right? And you decided to... Can you explain this to us?
Sure, I can. One of the provisions of our proposals are always that when we do these annual bids, that upon mutual agreement between the road commission and the contractor, we can extend the prices from one season to the next. And working with Reith Riley, we were really able to extend prices out for 4 years, which is pretty phenomenal when you consider how much the economic conditions have changed in that period. We both felt as we were winding up last year that it was in everybody's best interest to go out for on our side to test the market, to make sure that we were getting the best deal for the taxpayers in Livingston County, and for them to be able to reprice their work consistent with the economic challenges affecting them. It worked out well, and we're back with them. And although we were happy with all of our bidders, we have a really close relationship with Reith Riley in terms of issues like quality control and their level of traffic control as the projects are being built, which is so crucial. So we're happy to have them back, and we're looking forward to a busy year.
How many bids did you guys receive?
For the subdivision work, we received 4 bids. That was we had the primary bidders in our market are Reith Riley, Cadillac Asphalt, and Ajax Paving Industries. Ajax actually has a plant in Livingston County over in Green Oak Township, so they're kind of a local. And then we also had a bid proposal for the subdivisions from Allied Construction, which is bases their work out of Howell. And so we had four strong bids there.
Awesome. And you guys have, it looks like about, was it $20 million worth of work you're looking to do this year?
Well, it would be nice if it would be that. This work totals out at about right now $7.5 million. We anticipate that number will grow during the construction season. Typically, we add as much as townships come forward with requests for other projects and some financial incentives for us to consider them. We often end up adding $2 to $4 million worth of additional work after bid day. So we anticipate this will be ongoing, and we're very excited about it.
What are a couple of the big projects your people would probably be looking forward to having completed?
Well, people will always look forward to these things being done. So I think some of the big ones this year, Brighton Township, which has historically been a very, very generous community in terms of road improvements, has come up with three projects, finishing the paving in the area of the proving grounds on Kensington and Jacoby Roads. Secondly, two projects on Pleasant Valley Road. One as it departs from Heine and going up to Commerce Road. And then secondly, Pleasant Valley Road south of I-96 down to Grand River. So those are three big projects on very, very busy roads. Genoa Township came up with a project on Door Road, which has got a large traffic volume, and it's time for some surface improvements there. I think one of the nice ones, because it's always hard to get roads that are on town lines done, is Genoa and Osceola have cooperated with us to do the piece of Golf Club Road from Latson Road over to Hughes, and I think a lot of people will be happy to see that done. Hamburg Township has adopted their millage, and they've been very aggressive, and so we're doing projects on Chilson and Swarthout Roads and on Hall Road with Hamburg Township this year. Handy and Howell Township have cooperated on a project on Owasso Road, so between the three of us, we'll be doing a good chunk of Owasso Road. And Tyrone Township has stepped up to a piece of Denton Hill Road, which I think will be very well received, because it's in kind of tough shape. So all that is good. We're going to be addressing some issues on Dexter Pinckney Road, on Mason Road. So the major road program is pretty full. It's about 50,000 tons of asphalt to be applied on what we have set up to date. So we know we'll be out there. We don't have schedules yet. We'll be in the process now in the next month to figure out scheduling each individual road, taking into account the nature of the traffic on those roads. If we've got a school nearby, we may push off on that a little bit. And then the subdivisions, people, when subdivisions get done, people essentially have to tax themselves through a special assessment process. And some of them are quite big. One of them, the Shenandoah subdivision in Brighton Township, is well over 3 miles of streets that need to be rehabbed. And so it by itself would be a great big project, because it's getting up close to $1 million. So,
are you using Reith Riley for both the main roads and the subs?
Right, they were the low qualified bidder on both proposals.
Awesome, that sounds like a busy busy season coming up.
Yeah, I'm afraid there'll be some orange barrels, but hopefully we'll leave some smiles behind.
Another one that I think just came through with the Eager Road in Osceola Township.
That's going to be a great job. We have worked with Osceola Township and with MDOT, and we're going to be widening for a turn lane, the intersection of Eager and M-59. We need those turn lanes whenever a signal is contemplated for installation. We need to have, enough room so we have dedicated left turn lanes and then turns for the through and right movements. That work should be starting probably in the area of the second week of April. And we're going to push through and get it all done so that by June we'll be out of there, and then hopefully later this season MDOT will come along and install a traffic signal.
I would love that as someone who my GPS for this job often has me taking a left turn there instead of at Latson Road, and that is nightmarish at the wrong time.
You got a pretty wide M-59 you're turning into, so you got to do a lot of head swiveling, don't you?
Yeah. I know I cover Osceola often. They often talk on Eager Road about some stretch of road near a bridge. Do you know anything about this?
I sure do. We've been working with them since we had to close that bridge 3 years ago. We've been working with them to improve it. From an engineering point of view, it is a fairly complicated bridge to do because of the very low quality subgrade or earth that we're building. It's a big marsh that we're trying to construct in. We have completed the plans, and we're starting our right-of-way phase now, and hopefully we'll be able to announce a construction schedule later this year.
So there
is in our budget. It is in our budget for 2019 construction to begin.
So there may be some hope for them yet.
Yes, yes, that's our goal.
Awesome.
That's our goal.
That's it for this edition of Viewpoint, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. Opinions expressed on Viewpoint are not necessarily those of WHMI staff, management, or its advertisers. If you have a comment about today's show or a suggestion for a future segment, call us during normal business hours at 517-546-0860 or send an email to news@whmi.com. Until next Sunday, I'm John King on WHMI, Livingston County's own 93.5.